Thomas ran right behind Min-ho for 2 more hours, sprinkled with little breaks that seemed to get shorter every time. Good shape or not, Thomas was feeling the pain. Finally, Min-ho stopped and pulled off his backpack once more. They sat on the ground, leaning against the soft ivy as they ate lunch, neither one of them talking much. Thomas relished every bite of his sandwich and veggies, eating as slowly as possible. He knew Min-ho would make them get up and go once the food disappeared, so he took his time. "Anything different today?" Thomas asked, curious. Min-ho reached down and patted his backpack, where his notes rested. "Just the usual wall movements. Nothing to get your skinny butt excited about." Thomas took a long swig of water, looking up at the ivy-covered wall opposite them. He caught a flash of silver and red, something he'd seen more than once that day. "What's the big deal with those beetle blades?" he asked. "They seem to be everywhere." Then Thomas remembered what he'd seen in the maze. So much had happened he hadn't had the chance to mention it. "And why do they have the word wicked written on their backs?" "Never been able to catch one." Min-ho finished up his meal and put his lunchbox away. "And we don't know what that word means. Probably just something to scare us. But they have to be spies. For them. Only thing we can reckon." "Who is them, anyway?" Thomas asked, ready for more answers. He hated the people behind the maze. "Anybody have a clue?" "We don't know jack about the stupid creators." Min-ho's face reddened as he squeezed his hands together like he was choking someone. "Can't wait to rip their—" But before the keeper could finish, Thomas was on his feet and across the corridor. "What's that?" he interrupted, heading for a dull glimmer of gray he'd just noticed behind the ivy on the wall, about head high. "Oh yeah, that," Min-ho said, his voice completely indifferent. Thomas reached in and pulled apart the curtains of ivy, then stared blankly at a square of metal riveted to the stone with words stamped across it in big capital letters. He put his hand out to run his fingers across them, as if he didn't believe his eyes. "World in Catastrophe, Kill Zone Experiment Department." He read the words aloud, then looked back at Min-ho. "What's this?" It gave him a chill. It had to have something to do with the creators. "I don't know, Shank. They're all over the place, like freaking labels for the nice pretty maze they built. I quit bothering to look at them a long time ago." Thomas turned back to stare at the sign, trying to suppress the feeling of doom that had risen inside him. "Not much here that sounds very good. Catastrophe? Kill zone? Experiment? Real nice." "Yeah, real nice, Greeny. Let's go." Reluctantly, Thomas let the vines fall back into place and swung his backpack over his shoulders. And off they went, those 6 words burning holes in his mind. An hour after lunch, Min-ho stopped at the end of a long corridor. It was straight, the walls solid, with no hallways branching off. "The last dead end," he said to Thomas. "Time to go back." Thomas sucked in a deep breath, trying not to think about only being halfway done for the day. "Nothing new?" "Just the usual changes to the way we got here. Day's half over," Min-ho replied as he looked at his watch emotionlessly. "Gotta go back." Without waiting for a response, the keeper turned and set off at a run in the direction from which they'd just come. Thomas followed, frustrated that they couldn't take time to examine the walls, explore a little. He finally pulled in stride with Min-ho. "But just shut it, dude. Remember what I said earlier. Can't take any chances. Plus, think about it. You really think there's an exit anywhere? A secret trap door or something?" "I don't know. Maybe. Why do you ask it that way?" Min-ho shook his head, spat a big wad of something nasty to his left. "There's no exit. It's just more of the same. A wall is a wall is a wall. Solid." Thomas felt the heavy truth of it, but pushed back anyway. "How do you know?" "Because people willing to send grievers after us aren't going to give us an easy way out." This made Thomas doubt the whole point of what they were doing. "Then why even bother coming out here?" Min-ho looked over at him. "Why bother? Because it's here. Gotta be a reason. But if you think we're going to find a nice little gate that leads to Happy Town, you're smoking cow clunk. Thomas looked straight ahead, feeling so hopeless he almost slowed to a stop. This sucks. Smartest thing you've said yet, Greenie. Minho blew out a big puff of air and kept running, and Thomas did the only thing he knew to do. He followed. The rest of the day was a blur of exhaustion to Thomas. He and Minho made it back to the glade, went to the map room, wrote up the day's maze route, compared it to the previous days. Then there were the walls closing and dinner. Chuck tried talking to him several times, but all Thomas could do was nod and shake his head, only half-hearing, he was so tired. Before twilight faded to blackness, he was already in his new favorite spot in the forest corner, curled up against the ivy, wondering if he could ever run again. Wondering how he could possibly do the same thing tomorrow, especially when it seemed so pointless. Being a runner had lost its glamour. After one day. Every ounce of the noble courage he'd felt, the will to make a difference, the promise to himself to reunite Chuck with his family, it all vanished into an exhausted fog of hopelessness, wretched weariness. He was somewhere very close to sleep when a voice spoke in his head, a pretty, feminine voice that sounded as if it came from a fairy goddess trapped in his skull. The next morning, when everything started going crazy, he'd wonder if the voice had been real or part of a dream. But he heard it all the same, and remembered every word.
Tom, I just triggered the ending.